Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialists Kim and Jackie of Element Q, alongside strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast. Today we are talking about narcissism in a woke culture. And what we're going to start with, actually, is some definitions, just to help clarify all of this. So, according to Merriam-Webster, the definition of woke is aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice. And if we go to Urban Dictionary and wokeism, they reference this as today's hottest religion. Joining it allows simple-minded people to pride themselves on believing that they are more enlightened than, more compassionate than, and morally superior to most of their fellow human beings. So there's those two definitions. And then we also want to define today neo-narcissism as well. So Brad, do you want to cover that one?
Well, sure. So neo-narcissism, neo of course meaning new, and narcissism being narcissism. So basically the new narcissism. And for those listeners that haven't joined us previously on our episodes, the way that we define neo-narcissism is that there is a narcissism evolving that's like narcissism on steroids. And basically what it's about is like comorbidities or like other disorders that are attached to narcissism that makes it even more extreme.
Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, shall we dive in?
Well, I do like how, was that Webster's Dictionary?
Webster's and
right.
Urban Dictionary.
Okay, yeah, so Webster's, I like the way that Webster's defines it as, I mean, woke, the concept of being woke is actually a good concept, right? To have an awareness of racism and, you know, the social sense of what is appropriate and what is inappropriate within culture, and knowing how to treat people with respect. And then, of course, the social justice side of things. It's fairly common knowledge that a lot of people will cheer for the underdog. So social justice is about trying to stand up for the underdog or trying to help and support in that way. So the less fortunate, whatever that may look like. However, wokeism, at least the way the Urban Dictionary talks about it, wokeism seems to have a notion of narcissism, where woke has been infiltrated by narcissism. Mm-hmm. So, which leads to this entitlement framework, primarily an entitlement framework. So if you're woke nowadays, it's very common to see an entitlement attitude in the woke culture. So it's not about equality anymore. It's about this attitude of I'm better than, I deserve this, you owe this to me.
It becomes a little bit blurry and murky because they're better than, because they're rescuing these people. Like, you know, they're fighting. Which one said that they're fighting for against hatred? Is that one of those definitions, or is that a different one?
No, that was something we were just sort of. Oh, that was a different one. Yeah.
Do you have that one?
Let's see.
Yeah, it's this. They're coming in and they're better than you because they know more about social justice and the right ways to handle social justice and to combat hatred. And if you aren't following in line with that narrative and being woke with them, then they are better than you, and they swoop in to attack you because it's this sort of like, then we can't find the definition right now, but they're fighting against the hatred. If you're not joining in on the bus in that fight against the hatred, then they're fighting against you, which goes against the whole premise that it stands for.
Yeah, so it just perpetuates the fight.
Yeah.
And it perpetuates the potential polarization, the conflict, the intolerance, which is very ironic because woke, like 10 years ago, meant basically like spiritually aware as well. And you used to have a very positive connotation to it. Now, it definitely doesn't carry that same connotation. Like most things, whenever narcissism infiltrates it, actually ruins really beautiful things. And so this is what we're seeing within that woke framework right now.
Because at its root, it's not a terrible thing. It's actually a really beautiful concept. But this idea now that people jump on others for maybe questioning something within a woke framework, asking a question that might seem opposing, this jumping on to shame people, it goes into that better than, I have to be better than, you have to be less than. And that's really destructive. It's destructive to the humanity of it all, between people. And it's lost this ability for people to be compassionate, to have curiosity, to engage in conversation, to have some openness to others. Like, it's really shut that down. Which then, how do you have a human experience with another if, well, you fall into this category, or you are nothing to me, you're worthless, you're wrong, you're whatever. Add the insult in there.
As you were saying that, it's actually quite interesting because, okay, so for example, if the woke culture is talking about racism specifically, and there's a party that is questioning the narrative around the current woke culture's racism thing. When they're doing exactly what you're saying and they're shaming those people asking questions and calling them out and saying they're better than, they're just creating a whole nother minority that they're supposedly trying to stop happening over there. So they've like helped quote unquote that minority, but created another one in the process.
If I'm catching you, you can't work towards a tolerance over here while creating an intolerance over here.
You're othering people.
And that falls in line with consistent narcissistic behavior, that typically they get their flying monkeys. They want the people to be on their side, and you don't want to be the one person calling out the narcissist, because everybody is going to shame you and to try to stay on the side of the narcissist.
Yeah, because there's so much perceived power within that. It seems threatening to not. It's not real power, but there's a perception of power.
Yeah.
I do find this wokeism as the new religion very interesting, because it actually has some cult-like frameworks, because like you're talking about, if somebody feels disempowered, they're looking for a group to feel like they belong to, or if they feel isolated. If they do feel like they're on the outside in some way, it's very easy for them to get pulled into these frameworks because, well, there's a place that I can belong, right? It's potentially a meaning point for the outliers. But again, it can't be an us versus them idea. If you want it to be about acceptance, then it needs to stay with acceptance. Can't be going to fight the hate like you're talking about, because then you just become the monster you're trying to overcome, and you're just perpetuating the monster at that point. Versus, you know, what do you stand for? And this is why I say, like, wokeism, the concept of it, is really, what do you stand for? Well, I stand for justice. I stand for supporting and helping others. But it has turned into, I'm going to pull out the hammer and just start hammering people. When you become a hammer, everything looks like a nail type thing.
This idea that it's cult-like is really interesting, because it does feel like people have jumped on whatever the woke bandwagon is, whatever the topic might be, as a sense of belonging, as a sense of it somehow feeling empowering, because you have your circle, but you're not really, is that true to who you really are? Or is it just this sense that I have to be a certain person in order to be accepted. I have to be the same as everybody else, you know, or what in terms of what you're seeing, because there's such a large component of wokeism in our culture right now.
It's rewarded, though.
It is rewarded, yep.
Because you're part of the team that's doing the good thing, the right thing,
yeah.
The woke thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But why just think, I mean, where is it feeling like the right thing to do to bully, to shame, to exclude, like we're talking about? Like, that just fundamentally goes against the concept of being woke, does it not?
Yes. At its fundamental.
At its fundamental.
Core.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So then when narcissism infiltrates that, it's not really woke anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's
no.
A new animal.
Yes.
Yes.
It's an entirely new thing.
Yeah.
It's a perversion.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that I've been, well, I read different woke type things. One of the one that really struck out to me is that if you aren't anti-racist, you're racist.
So can you elaborate on that?
Well, which to me really sums up what you're saying. If you're not fighting against racism, then you're racist. Well, where's the truth in that? I'm not actively as a person fighting against racism every day in my life, but I don't consider myself a racist. But that in itself to me is saying, if you aren't actively every day fighting against racism, and, you know, pointing out those people that aren't also actively fighting against racism, then you're racism and you're racist. And oh my gosh, I don't want to be classified as racist. So you can also see how it like manipulates you into that call to action also. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does make sense.
Because
yeah.
Again, it pulls into the extreme category.
And yeah.
This is where the principle of moderation really does make sense. Like you're talking about, a principle of moderation in this is respect for all human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-racism is against something, but just the very premise of even a central stance on this, of saying, yeah, just treat all humans with dignity and respect. I mean, by nature, it is anti-racist, but what do they consider to be anti-racist? And whenever you hear anti, it's an against.
Yeah.
Right? Again, rather than standing for what you want, you're standing against something.
Yeah.
No, stand for dignity. Stand
yeah.
for respect.
Love.
Inclusivity.
Yeah.
Love.
Mm-hmm. And this is where, like you're talking about, it moves from being something beautiful into a bullying framework,
mm-hmm.
where now there's a violation that happens. And that whole metaphor of, you know, there's two ways to become the tallest tower in the city, right? You build yourself up to become the tallest tower, or you rip everybody apart. And unfortunately, right now, within the wokeism framework that's been infiltrated by narcissism,
mm-hmm.
it's about just tearing down every tower that seems to be standing indiscriminately.
Mm-hmm.
Which really is like, when we're talking about this, we're really trying to point out where the narcissism lies within all of this, right? To,
yeah.
And how destructive it is when narcissism is infiltrated, whether it's a person or within a concept.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the destruction within it, the entitlement within it, the grandiosity
mm-hmm.
around the experience of it. Yeah, just so many very typical narcissistic traits that you can really find when you start looking at this.
There's also, I think you brought it up earlier, but just like going through the traits, you can't question it.
Yeah.
It's not open to any conversation or debate or questioning. It's like,
curiosity.
No. Yeah, but it's
yeah.
like, that's the narcissistic component about it. It's like, no, this is what we believe, and that's that.
Well,
how dare you question?
And how dare you?
If you do question, then you're against us.
Then you're a racist.
And that's what pushes it into the cult-like space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are some big words, right? Like grandiosity, entitlement. The other angle of entitlement that we run into with wokeism is you're not allowed to have your own opinion because it can potentially be offensive. And this entitlement that you don't have the right to offend me. Mm-hmm. And it's that whole bubble wrap, shrink wrap
yes.
culture that says you have to keep me comfortable
right.
at all times. It's your responsibility to keep me mm-hmm. comfortable. Not, you know, and again, there's that entitlement and that expectation that somebody else worship and bow to you to treat you in a certain way so you don't have to do your own emotional regulation. Mm-hmm. You don't have to deal with the reality of life that it's harsh. You feel like you're entitled to have everybody around you and the world around you make life exactly the picture that you want it to be. And if they don't, then they're the other. Yeah, then they're yes. bad.
Yeah. Well, and even so, you take that, exactly everything you're saying, so then like you take it to the narcissistic social media world where somebody has posted an opinion, you know, a different narrative, and they'll see that as exactly what you're saying, you making them uncomfortable, you know, like offending them, and then they attack on social, like will attack that person and what they have to say. And like there seems to lack this capacity to just be able to, okay, I don't agree with this point of view, I'm just going to keep on going by and keep that opinion to myself. There's this elevated, I don't know, is that entitlement, grandiosity that like, holy moly, you offended me. You know, like I read your comment and I don't like it and I'm going to tell you all about it.
And then you get into cancel culture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, because that person had to be canceled because they questioned or had a different opinion, which is so heartbreaking to me, because how do we ever grow as individuals? How do we grow as a society if we can't actually have a conversation with people who have differing opinions? That is how we actually become woke. We actually become a fuller human being.
Yeah,
like true awareness, curiosity, understanding, and you both use like good language around this. Limited capacity. Mm-hmm. So what has happened is, and this has to do with social media and how our brains are trained into the dopamine, you know, the immediate gratification wheel cycle and all of that type of stuff, that discourse, actual human-to-human discourse, nobody actually has the capacity for. They only have the capacity for this intensity of, just like you're talking about, the fight, where it just like it blows up.
Yeah.
But they have no tolerance and no capacity to actually have discourse, to move through it, to move towards a mutual understanding, like where are you coming from? And it's very interesting within the woke culture, if you really pay attention to it, when somebody asks somebody that's deep into this religion of wokeism, if you ask them questions for clarity and understanding, again, as we've talked about before, healthy people really appreciate when people take the time to understand them.
Yeah.
You will not run into somebody that's so appreciative of being understood. You'll run into a wall because they don't want to think beyond this rigid mindset of where they stand. They don't want to have to answer any questions about it or risk it not standing up to scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, it is a really healthy and normal human experience and valuable human experience to actually have discourse with somebody else. It doesn't mean a loss of love for healthy individuals. You can still be in a place of love and kindness and compassion for the person you're in discourse with. And the purpose of it is to actually stretch you both to find that middle ground, like you were talking about, mm-hmm. to find some resolve and some clarity, some understanding, which helps with unity. So,
and to me, that feels like it fights against hatred.
It does fight against hatred. And honestly, good luck in relationship if you have no tolerance for that. Because how do you have any relationship of any capacity to survive in a really in any deep and meaningful way if you cannot manage the discomfort of discourse. Mm-hmm.
But narcissism can't survive that.
No.
No.
That's right. So I do think like that's also like maybe a really good fingerprint for people when they're either in a woke conversation or just in general conversation and there's this intolerance for the discourse. That doesn't mean it's not uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, but discomfort isn't harmful.
No.
It's just uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And you're both uncomfortable, so you can even bond over that.
Exactly. Right, because there are way more similarities when you actually take the time.
Yeah. Like you might want similar end goals, but you're just seeing the way of getting there differently.
Yeah, because somebody who's deep into wokeism, if we actually sat, like the three of us, sat with individuals deeply into wokeism, and we could actually have a true discourse, we would all agree that people need to be treated with dignity and respect.
Absolutely.
And the reason that we're talking about this isn't to attack those that have been pulled into the wokeism framework or mindset or attitude of things. It's to point out that it has become like an expression of neo-narcissism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again,
clarifying that.
Which ultimately we're trying to work towards true wokeism in its definition of being aware of the neo-narcissistic tendency and the neo-narcissistic infiltration into exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. I also do think there's something really, just to back up what was said earlier, there's something really important to the what you stand for versus what you stand against that also can help shift conversations you have, how you perceive information, and how you can actually move that forward when you're standing for something versus standing against something.
Yeah,
it's a very tangible difference.
Even the example of anti-racism, I like how you're talking about this. Just think of the word anti-racism. Mm-hmm. What picture does that paint in your head?
It's not loving. It's anti, to me it's violent.
Well, and it conjures, to me, it conjures up pictures of like violent racism and symbols and stuff like this. This is what jumps out to me. Versus dignity and respect. Mm-hmm. So we can understand it from a framework of, if they mean dignity and respect through the term of anti-racism, let's move away from the against, like you're talking about, from the against language, and let's move more into the for language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eliminate the hate and the fear-based languaging and programming and move towards the more love-empowered, badass languaging. Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference. Language is really important.
Yeah.
Right? It changes how you approach something. It changes how you posture yourself against it or for it. It changes how you engage in the concept.
So when you said that, to me, it's like when you're posturing yourself, that just sums it all up. If it's this anti fighting against, it is a very postured position to be in too, right?
Was that like holding fists,
ready to fight.
Whether when you're standing for something, you're open, loving, accepting, curious,
empowered. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very different perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was also going to ask this question just for conversation. Would wokeism be as successful as it's been without social media?
I would say no.
Yeah, because you think about the anonymity behind the ability to just rage. Mm-hmm. Because in a way, it creates this rage culture. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy behind a keyboard to do that as opposed to looking somebody in the eyes, unless you're completely removed from your humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It also, social media itself has a heavy influence, has also been infiltrated by narcissism.
Yeah, I know.
So, of course, wokeism within social media, it just is going to amplify that even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting perspective, because, I mean, I feel like social media in itself has created neo-narcissism, and then you see its connection to woke culture and how they're just working so well together to create this, I don't know, new reality. Because I was going to say back a little bit what you were talking about, that a lot of, you know, if we were to sit down with people who are into woke culture or wokeism and have a conversation, it would really dissipate a lot of that perceived duality between the two of us. And whereas on social media, the woke culture is used to just dropping, you know, comments and attacking and running. And I've approached them a few times and said, you know, well, why don't, you know, appreciate your opinion, but why don't we, if you want to know more about my, where I stand, why don't you contact me and we'll have a conversation? They never, just falls flat.
Well, that points to the superficiality of the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
where, again, you can't have real conversation. It's not a real engagement of a relationship. It's just a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy to villainize through transactions or villainize through propaganda, for lack of a better word.
And it does speak to the lack of strength behind the argument if somebody can't say, yeah, actually, I think it would be of value to sit down and talk.
Yeah.
And transaction is another really good word, because that's also very narcissistically related. Relationships are transactional more so than they are relational.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's also a good little fingerprint. If you feel that there is a lack of being able to relate to another person,
mm-hmm.
that maybe is a moment to pause and take question.
That also connects with mood-based love. If you're not, you know, supporting their mood around a specific woke culture, then you're not also going to get any love from them either.
For sure. You can check out that episode. It's already out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is really big. If they're in the mood and caught up into this certain idea,
yeah,
whatever that idea or framework may be, the flavor of the day or the flavor of the week,
mm-hmm.
if you don't get on board with their mood, you're absolutely right. Like, you're chopped liver.
Yeah, and that could be a lot of what it perpetuates it to me, is that it feels very much like that collective mood-based... mood-based love, it's, or hate.
Mood-based.
Yes. Mood, it's very mood-based.
Yeah, and then the word that keeps coming to me in this conversation is just how it perpetuates,
mm-hmm.
how it just drives forward more divisiveness, just drives forward more of that cycle and that spirit of narcissism.
Yeah.
Yeah, the word that keeps popping up for me is indignant. This taking this indignant stance against another person simply because they may have worded something, said something, or have an opinion that maybe isn't 100% in line with whatever the woke narrative is of the topic.
Yeah.
So here's a question that we can discuss. What's the solution?
Mm.
So it's fine for us to be talking, having this conversation about it, but what is the actual thing that we can do about this?
Well, I think there's some critical keys here, key points, is I think there's some sense of self-awareness that is lacking for people. It's a real sense of what you as your own person and individual believes outside of your community, family, etc. There's, in my opinion, been a real lack of people being able to critically think for themselves, which would really also help for you to define what you really do believe about certain topics, getting off social media, and standing for.
Yeah, I think that's a big piece.
As opposed to standing against. Standing for, I think, really... But if you don't have those other pieces, how do you know what you stand for? Right? If you don't have the sense of self-awareness and the ability to critically think, it's going to be challenging to find out what you really do stand for and be able to really, like, really embody a stand in that and be willing to be the outlier in that situation. I think the standing for, I think curiosity, openness, connection, kindness, love, acceptance, all of that are solutions too. Because you can love somebody who is in a very polarized, differing opinion than you.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you?
But framing this a little bit more to come back to some of our other stuff is how do you be a badass in this scenario? Mm-hmm. And I think that sums a lot of it up. But also you mentioned a comment that it's okay to be the outlier in this woke world or woke. And that is, I think, what gives a lot of momentum to the woke culture, because people are don't know how to be a badass outlier in this culture.
You have something you want to add there, Brett?
The woke culture is now promoting reductionism in terms of what happens is individuals start getting reduced. Either individuals are reducing themselves or they're reducing others into a certain dimension of their self. So the thing that they're trying to fight against, they're actually reducing to and putting a spotlight on it and essentially amplifying that one component and only seeing themselves or others through that one particular lens. Mm. So only reducing somebody to their color. Mm. I'm sorry, but as humans, we're so much more than a color. Mm-hmm. We're reducing to a sexual orientation. We are so much more than an orientation. To me, that's not dignifying as the individual as a whole. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be reasonable and say, like, okay, there's some, we're all different in our own ways, and here's some characteristics that, like, I'm tall, so you're going to notice I'm tall, but I'm not just tall.
Yeah.
And what if my whole identity was just about being tall? I would have just drastically reduced myself to something. Even if I was proud of my height, mm-hmm. well, I do like my height, but I would never reduce myself to that.
Mm-hmm. You want to be more than the guy that can reach the top shelf.
Exactly, right? There's so many more dimensions to everything, but wokeism is all about being reductionistic.
And it's one-dimensional.
One-dimensional.
This is such a valid point.
And in doing so, though, when you're really reducing it like that and making it one-dimensional, you are taking the humanity out of the situation. And all of those other components we've discussed that will bring unity to the table. Whereas if you're just reducing it to that one dimension and attacking, you've got the blinders on and that's all you can see when there's all this other color out there.
You're missing the whole person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And sad. It's sad that we've gotten to a point in the broader culture that we get caught up into these reductionistic polarities.
Yeah, because I mean, if we reframe some of the things we've talked about, if I said, if you aren't anti-heightist, you're heightist. You know, you said, if we were reducing it to just being about people's height versus skin color, like you're only looking at one part of the person, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. then it adds weight or validity to it. But why couldn't height be a thing mm-hmm. that we just focus on?
Yeah, because true racism is reductionistic in and of itself. Yeah. So the thing that you're trying to counter it with, if you're trying to counter it with wokeism, you can't use the same mechanism to mm-hmm. achieve a different result.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you're still highlighting that one-dimensional aspect.
Yes.
Rather than, to me, fighting against racism is looking at people as being more than a skin color.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when you stand for true inclusivity of all humans, the reductionism instantly disappears. Mm-hmm. And now this is where we run into more of the neo-narcissism stuff, where the narcissistic spirit is highly reductionistic in and of itself mm-hmm. as well. And reductionism, I would argue, is a major violation of humanity.
Yeah.
As soon as you reduce somebody to a single dimension or a very limited dimension of who they are overall, like we're talking about, you just bled out their whole humanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's so easy to villainize or other, like you're talking about, those individuals based on that reductionist mindset.
Yep.
Because there is no human left. You're only looking at traits.
Mm-hmm. Very limited traits.
Yeah. That's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, in the woke culture, so what they do is if you aren't on the woke culture propaganda bandwagon, they reduce you as well. You're just, you know, that term, if you're not anti-racist, you're racist. Again, you're still just being reduced to one element of a title. Be a badass in this narcissistic world. Stand for something. Be empowered. Have conversations. Have relationships with people. Be okay being uncomfortable.
Have confidence within yourself. Because like our version of badass isn't really aggressive. It's not in opposition of anything. It is about embodying your true sense of who you are.
Yeah.
And the strength within that, the confidence within that, and the really massive capacity within that when you step into that space.
Yeah, because I think the duality in the wokeism is that the woke can tend to be the assholes, and those who aren't joining then easily become attacked and become the doormats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what Jackie's referencing here, if you haven't heard our episode on how to be a badass in a narcissistic world, it's this scale she's referring to. Is on one side you have assholes, on the other side you have doormats, and in the middle is the badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the badass position is a healthy space to be in. Okay, and as usual, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.